Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
All right. Good evening, everyone, and greetings in Jesus' name. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, to open our hearts and minds, Father, to be receptive to your word, so that your word, Father, will stay with us now and forever. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this service this evening. Have thy Spirit bring to us the message you would have each one of us to have this night. And we ask this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. I'm going to be talking to you tonight from the 7th chapter of Matthew's. I started last Sunday evening back in the Old Testament, and I'm going to aim to continue through the Old Testament, but I'm trying to keep these Sunday meetings on the Lord Jesus Christ, because as we all stand, we need to be getting ready and making sure we are ready for the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes for the church, or when he comes for each one of us as individuals. You know, we have those out there, they'll say, well, I think I'm ready. Oh, no, yeah, I believe I'm ready. They're ones that's not. Because he tells, in his word, he tells us, he said, unless you know you have salvation, you don't have it. You're to know. And that's like in the 6th chapter of Matthew's, in that 25th verse. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You know, because life is not more than meat, and the body than raiment. Because when we really take a look at those words, those sayings, we find that they indicate that the inner mental stability must come from the spirit of a man and not from the outward physical provision. It don't matter what's on the outside, what you've got on, what you're wearing. Because, you see, God's not looking at what you got on. He's looking at the heart and your mind. He's looking at inside. You see, we're to set our hearts not on material possessions or to worry about the lack of what we don't have. Because if we do that, then we'll find that we live in a perpetual insecurity. And we'd also be depriving ourselves of the spiritual blessings of God. So we need to really get with the study of God's Word as it is written. And we don't need all these different kinds of Bibles out here that we've got today either, where they've took this word out and that word out and other words out, and they've added their own into it. We don't need that. We need to stick with the Bible we've had for years and years and years. Not something mankind has taken and really played with. God has kept this word for you and I down through ages until we still got it with us today. And we know it works. When we walk in it and when we have it within us, we know it works. I am a living example of its work. And all that has known me most of my life will tell you the change that took place within. Because you see, today mankind is walking in fear. And he's walking in fear now of two things. Started out just being one. But they're finding out that a lot of things they've been told were lies. And now they're walking in fear of what is happening with those that have been lying to you and I. Think about it. I'm not saying the virus is not real, but it's not what they proclaimed it to be, nor has it done the damage they proclaimed it to do. It's done enough, yes, but it hasn't done what they proclaimed it to do. And all of you, if you watch television, I know you see this ad they've got on there now. Now all of them going through these different stages, all to advertise, wear your mask for your own protection and for the protection of your family and the protection of your community. They know, because it's been proven right here in our nation, that mask makes no difference. The two states that don't require the mask has had the least of this virus. We got one governor that never did close her state down at all. And it's had the least of any of this. And she did not even close her state down like the rest of them did. Yet they still, because they're still trying to see how far they can push you and I. I know this message is not popular, especially among those that are believing in what's going on. It's not even really popular among the church today, because the church has gotten so weak and so backslidden that we've got very few men of God today standing in the podiums. Most of them are backslidden preachers. They've got no faith because they did. Their churches would be open. They would never have been closed. And they wouldn't be letting man tell them what they can do and can't do in their church. Because even our government knows they don't have the authority to shut the church doors. They don't have the authority to tell me that we can't have singing in the church. They don't have the authority to tell me that we can't take communion. They don't have that kind of authority. It's wrote into our Constitution in the First Amendment. All anybody has to do is read it. There's a few states now finding out because they're being sued about it. And they're finding out that the judges are ruling now with these churches that are bringing suits. I do thank God we have a few of the pastors that has woke up and that are beginning to get back in to the Word of God as it is written and start preaching it. And that's what we must do if you're going to be saved. We got too many out there that believes they're on their way to heaven that's lost because of these weak, backslidden preachers that's on their way to hell, and they're taking their congregation with them because they're listening to man instead of to God. When we look at our apostles, as Kenny mentioned this morning, these men gave their lives to stand firm with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the gospel of that word right there. They gave their lives for it. And if it hadn't have been truth, they wouldn't have been so willing to give all of their lives. Now, once in a while, you might find one that will give up his life, but to find a whole bunch that's going to give up their life for the same thing, no. Satan's hard at work. We need to be making sure we are ready. And the only way that you can be sure that you are truly ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes either for his church or comes for you as an individual is to be a born-again child of living God. In John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he told Nicodemus, no one will enter the kingdom of heaven without being born again. Now, where most gets lost, they'll go and they'll go in truth, seeking Jesus and asking him for forgiveness. And they're told, well, you ask, he forgives. You raise up, you're saved. No, you're not. You may be on the right road, but there's still a whole lot left to be done. We find that out in Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 38. He tells us what we need. Because when Peter come out of the upper room that day, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was sent back to mankind, preached one of the strongest sermons known to mankind, when he finished, those that were listening, which was up in the thousands, asking, what must we do? And he told them. He said, go, repent. That word repent don't mean just getting down on your knees and telling God, Lord, I've done this in my life, I've done that in my life, I've done this in my life. Lord, I'm sorry for that. Forgive me for it. Yes, you need to do that, but that's not all repent is. That word repent means after you do that, you turn away from it. You leave alone. You don't go back and do it again. You quit. You stop doing it. That's what the word repent. And that's the first thing we have to do. Then he says, be baptized in Jesus' name. Not out here being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is what most today wants to do. Oh, well, it don't matter. Yes, but it does. You see, being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, it's right here in the same book I'm in right now. I know where it's at. In fact, it's actually in the last chapter, in the last few verses of the book of Matthew, when Jesus was sending his disciples out, starting with verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So they took that and they said, see, he tells you to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yes, at that time, in that time, dispensation, that's the way they were to baptize. That was John's baptism. Because Jesus had not yet finished paying the price for you and I. Once he finished that price, paying that price, once he died on that cross, once he was resurrected, and he went back to heaven, and he sent that Holy Spirit back to mankind to dwell within you and I, that all changed. That was all fulfilled. Everything. Now he's paid the price. And that's why we are to be baptized in his name. In Acts 2:38, the next chapter that deals with the subject after the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:38. They asked us, what must we do? They told him, go and repent and be baptized, every one of you, in Jesus' name. Why? Romans chapter 6 will tell you that. Because you see, when I take you to baptize you, if I'm going to baptize you the right way, when I baptize you in Jesus' name, you're putting on his death. You're being buried with him. When you are put under that water, I'm burying you with Jesus. When I lift you up out of that water, I'm bringing you up in his resurrection. And then you are to walk in newness of life. Then the next thing that is to happen to you, you're to get into his word, start studying his word, bringing it into your life, living according to what it says until you are filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. then you're born again. And when you're born again, oh boy, here's another thing churches don't like today. When you're born again, you don't sin. You can't sin. Oh, what do you mean you can't sin? Well, according to God's word, you can't. Oh, now, Brother Tony, that ain't in there. Oh, yes, it is. I'll read that to you, and then we're going to get into something else God's laid on my heart for the night. So let's just go back here to 1 John. First John chapter 3. Now, he tells us, beginning here in verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. Means let no man tell you things that's contrary to God's word. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus, was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God, we're talking about you being reborn, being born of God. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Yet they want to keep telling you, you can't live your life without sin. And our churches are being filled with it today. Filled with it. Because they're afraid. If they change now and start preaching the word of God as it is written, well, you know, it'll cause some of my members to leave, and they give to the church. It all comes back to money, because that preacher back there, he wants a good, nice living. He's wanting that high paycheck. Like I've told you about two churches I knew of. One of them furnished everything a man in his family could want. A home, furnished the phone, furnished the car, furnished the gas, paid all the medical expenses and care for the family, and then paid $100,000 a year and couldn't get a pastor because it wasn't enough. And the other one done the same thing, except they was $20,000 cheaper. They paid $80,000. They couldn't get a pastor because it wasn't enough. Look at what those that started out that has gave you and I what we have today, gave us this holy word here. Those apostles that went and died a martyr's death so they could stand firm with the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they've done it without pay. They worked, they made their own way. Once in a while, somebody would help them with a place to stay or something that way once in a while. We need more men in a podium today that's in there for God, not there for money. And needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit and standing on God's word and teaching it regardless of what the subject is he comes across or who might be there present. Now, as we go into chapter 7, it says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you might, it shall be measured to you again. Does that mean that I don't know right from wrong? No. That means that I love all mankind. And although I may know you're on your way to hell, I am to love you
I'm not your judge. The Lord Jesus Christ will do that when you step out of this life or when he comes to the church, whichever comes first. He's the judge. But I am to share the word, and I am to try to lead you out of that sin and out of darkness. And I'm not passing judgment on you. I'm not the one that's going to put you in hell. Well, you know, the word says that God don't put you in hell. Well, he don't. Not truly. You do that yourself by the way you live, because you won't serve him. You won't walk with him. You won't get into his word. You won't go to church. You're going to stay out of the church, or you're going to continue going to places that will not teach you the word of Almighty God. But he will put you where he told you you was going to end up. But you done it yourself. Because he loved you. He loved you enough that he died on the cross for you. What have you done for him when you're not even willing to stand in his word, to stay in his church, to be a worker? We are all workers. If you are a child of God, you are a worker in his family and in the field of harvest. You are to help build the church. You're to help talk to others out there, try to get them into the church so that they can learn, so they can grow and continue to grow, because we need God's work back in the church today. We need to see those gifts that God put into the church at work today. But you show me one church that you know where you know that work's going on besides this one. We got very few here since I reopened it. We got very few here. But we've already had a couple of healings here. And one of them that's a witness to it is here every Sunday morning, because it was his wife that was healed. And she wasn't even here present at the time. But through our prayer right here in this church, she was healed in a matter of a couple of hours. They took her out of intensive care, put her in a regular room, and the next day sent her home. Well, she's still well and doing fine today. But both churches, you're not seeing any kind of work done spiritually. And yet, God put it into our churches. He put it into all the churches. So that tells you something about a lot of these churches, don't it? You know, if you go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, or just keep it in your mind, you can read it later on when you get home if you want. So you'll know I'm not telling you something not so. In chapter 12, and beginning with verse 27, he says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. He's talking to his people, Jesus is. And God has set some in the church. Here's what God put into the church. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. That's what God put into the church.
Where's it at today? You see, they walked so far away. There was a time that this all worked in the church. There was a time, and I can remember it in my lifetime. Of course, I know most of you ain't near my age. And the younger generation never seen it. But there was a time that your churches taught this Bible. And it didn't matter when they started through the scripture, what it led to. They wasn't going to walk around it. And it didn't matter who was there. They wasn't going to walk around them either. And they all taught the same thing. They all baptized in Jesus' name. I saw the church when it started changing and going out here and baptizing in Jesus' name. And a lot of churches, they quit taking you out to a creek or someplace to work. They could immerse you and sprinkle you with a few drops of water. That don't work. You can't take a seed out here and plant it by putting just a sprinkle of dirt on it. It won't grow. Sun will burn it up. We're told all this. It's all in God's Word. But that's why mankind today, it's hard to get them to come to church. They don't want to hear the Word. Now, he goes on here, verse 3, he says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thy own eye?" Make sure that pastor that is standing behind this podium, he needs to be sure that what he is teaching, what he is speaking, is what he is living. If he's not living it himself, don't listen to it. Nor him. It says, "How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own?" Me telling you, well, let me tell you how to live. I can't tell you the right way to live if I'm not living it, because I don't know. And the Word also tells you that. Here's what it does call you. Here's what it calls men like that. "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." First, get yourself right with God. That pastor needs to get himself right with God. And to make sure that God is calling him to that office. And then he can help you. But as long as he continues living the way he is, stay away from him. Leave him alone. Now, 6. He really gets a little strong here. He says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine or before the hogs, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." You see, these are all things that is being overlooked today. In these words he's using here, dogs and swine, he's referring here to those that has deliberately rejected the message of truth. Think about it. Think about it. Now, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. When you go to the Lord in prayer, be it in honesty and sincerity, because if it's not, you're not going to hear nothing. You're not going to receive anything. When you ask, it has to be done with sincerity and honesty. And he goes on to tell you, he says, ask and it shall be given. So if you ask with sincerity and honesty, it'll be given to you. You can have what you speak. That's why when we are working and speaking and praying in the Spirit, that we can ask God for healing for you and see it done. But you see, you got those out there that blocks things. That one that you're praying for has to be one that is in sincerity and honesty and wants that healing. Because they can block it. And Satan will do it. He will be right there trying to block your good work. Now, he can't stand up against Jesus. And if that one really wants it, wants that healing, and you ask for it, it will be done, just like it was with Dennis's wife. The day he and I stood here in the middle of this floor that evening and prayed for her. They didn't know if she was going to make it through the night. She was in intensive care. 2 hours later, they brought her out of intensive care and put her into her own room and was ready to release her sender home the next day. She's been healed ever since. I know what it is. I've been down that road too. Now, he says, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But you see, it's got to be done with perseverance and frequent prayer. And as I've told you all before, was telling you last week, there's a lot of things that only comes through fasting and prayer. And that's something else the church has forgot. Very few of the churches will teach you about fasting anymore. And yet, there's a lot of things that will not come without it. Just like here in the four Gospels. Jesus had sent his disciples out. He sent them out to do all these things. There were some things they couldn't do. They come back and they tell Jesus about it. And they ask Jesus, says, why couldn't? Because he healed what they couldn't. And they ask him, says, why couldn't we do this? He said, they are those things that will only come through fasting and prayer. We all need a life to where we set aside time to spend with the Lord and do it in fasting, in honesty, in sincerity, and humble ourselves before Him. And then we can see those works done that we are asking Him to do. His word, not mine. 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now you see, these weak, watered down places, they see, he says anybody that'll do that, they're going to find. It's going to be given to them. Not unless they belong to him. Are they in sincerity and seeking for him? Their heart has to be right in the sight of Almighty God. Now, or what man is there of you whom if he, his son, ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? In other words, if your son comes to you and asks you for something that he needs, he's asking you for something good, you going to give him something else, something different that's not? No. Most of us will give if we possibly can. I know I will mine. If I've got what they need and what they're asking for, yes, I'll give it to them. Or if I can get a hold of it. But he goes on now. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Because he's a lot better than I am. That's for sure. And God loves us all. He loves that sinner even. But he has gave us things that we have to do in order to become that born-again child of the living God. Now, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What you want people to do to you and for you, be willing to do for others. And there's not a one, I don't care how evil he's walking, that don't want something good from others around him or her. I know back before I ever thought about changing my life, I wanted good things. I wanted people to be good to me. I wasn't always good to them. But I wanted them to be good to me. If I needed help, yeah, I wanted help. There was a time my man not helped you. Because there was a time in my life I'd have just soon stood and had a knockdown, drag-out fight with you as to have shook your hand. Wouldn't have made no difference to me. But I wanted others to treat me good. And that's what he's talking about here. Now, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. And this is something everybody needs today. At the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Most of mankind, especially in our day and time, are on the wrong pathway. They're trying to go through they're going through the wrong gate. They ain't trying. They're going through the wrong gate. He goes on here in 14 now and tells us, he said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We don't know how few there be, but we do know one thing. When God destroyed this earth the first time with the flood, there was only 8 out of all of those people saved. Only 8. Noah and his sons, and Noah's wife and his sons' wives. That's all of us saved. Rest of them were lost, destroyed, because they would not listen. They were warned. Noah warned them, but they would not listen. Now, he warns you. Here in 15, he's giving you a warning. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. He's talking about those that are teaching in our churches today, that are teaching the wrong things, but they come to you as a sheep. They come to you as a godly person, and they're teaching you contrary to the word of God. And God calls them ravaging wolves, destroying those that they should be helping, because they don't know. They've got their own mind. Their mind has been set, most of them, for a good many years. They went to other men out here in the world, went through seminary and places like that, learning how to preach man's way instead of God's way. Instead of allowing God to call them and put them in the office he wants them in, they chose to go the route of being a pastor in a church because they didn't want to get out here and physically work. Yet they wanted good pay. They wanted a good life. And they went to mankind. They call them schools now, seminaries. To me, they're cemeteries, because they come out preaching about a Jesus they don't even believe in. Yes, they'll say his name, and they'll use a verse every now and then, here and there, out of the scripture. But they're teaching the basic contrary to the word of God. Now, in 16 he says, ye shall know them by their fruits. You ought to know them. And if you are a child of God, you will know them by their fruits. What are they teaching? Are they teaching you that word that is written in the Bible? Are they teaching you the man-made laws that's been made up now over the past 50 or 60 years, that's going to baptize you the wrong way, going to teach you you can't live without sin in your life? You just stop the sin. But you just keep doing that same old sin every day, going every night and asking God to forgive you. He'll just keep doing it. No, he won't. And he tells you he won't. You find that in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, where God will tell you. He will not do it. Oh, now, Pastor. No. You're just standing there telling things that's not so. You're a mean old man. Well, I may be a mean old man, but I'm not telling you something that's not God's word either. Because you go to Hebrews chapter 10, and let's start with verse 25. He says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You see, right there is what we were talking about earlier, about these preachers that close the church doors staying out because man told them to. But God didn't tell them to. In fact, he started here with verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, once we've committed that sin, we found out that that was sin, we don't do that again. Now, I know that that's wrong. Now, if I go ahead and willfully do it, knowing that it's wrong, it says, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You've got no more sacrifice for that sin. When you do it willingly and you know it's wrong, you know it's sin, there's no sacrifice for it. But he goes on to tell you what is waiting. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment, for indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. That fire of hell waiting on you. God's word, not mine, his. Now, coming back in to where we was. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Those that are the children of God will be bringing forth good fruit. They'll be doing good work. They'll be doing God's work. And those that are not of God is going to be doing evil things. They're not going to be doing and bringing forth good work of God. He goes on, gets even a little stronger. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree, a good man of God, one that is filled with the Holy Spirit, cannot bring forth evil fruit. That person that is a child of God does not bring forth evil fruit. He don't bring forth anything that's sin. Neither can a corrupt tree. That one that is evil out there, he can't bring it forth good fruit until he will find the Lord Jesus Christ and get his life straightened out. Long as he's walking in this evil world out here, in the ways of this world out here, he can't bring forth good fruit. And that's God's word. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He's given, this is Jesus' words. He's given us warning. If you do not do good works, if you do not become that born-again child of God, you're going to be destroyed. He said that tree is going to be cut down and cast into the fire. And we know, because the word tells us back in Revelation, at the end of Jesus' thousand-year millennial reign on this earth, there's going to be what is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And at that day and time of that Great White Throne Judgment, all that are not the children of Almighty God will be, along with Satan, all of his demons, and hell itself will be cast into the lake of fire that will burn forever. And as the word says, the worm never dies. And you'll spend eternity with that spirit on fire and can't die. That's the kind of punishment you will be living with throughout eternity and never no way out. You've got no excuse because you are being warned against it. You are being warned against it in God's word. You see, that's why we are to work out here with mankind. That's why we are to love them enough to keep after them, to get them in church, to get them in God's word, to get them to a place, to where they will go to the Lord and that they will give their lives to Him and that they'll do it in honesty and sincerity and become that child of God and get into His word and become that born again child of the living God. Move into God's family, not man's family, but into God's family and become a worker in His field. Once you are filled with that Holy Spirit of God, you know that you have heaven made your home. But only then do you know it. And there is such thing as having to go back and do your first works over. You see, a lot of them will say, well, you know, I was baptized. Now I'm asking God to forgive me because I was baptized the wrong way. But you need to be re-baptized. He tells you that there is a time that you may have to do your first works over. Because if you didn't get far enough to become that born-again child of God, you've got to do those first works over. Book of Acts. Read it. Every time the apostles found a group of people that were just coming believers, they asked them, well, how were you baptized? Well, we were baptized by John's baptism. They took them to re-baptize them. Every time. They took them, re-baptized them in Jesus' name because they had been baptized the wrong way, which had done nothing for them. Nothing. Only as long as they was under that, they was being led down the wrong pathway, believing they was, oh, you know, my life's changed and I'm living good now and everything's all right. No, it didn't. You see, that's why I'm a mean old man. And a lot of them out here tell you that. That brother, Pastor KD, he's a mean old man. Because I don't walk around no subject and I don't walk around no one. If it's here in the Word of God and I'm in there, I'm going to give it to you. Because when I open my mouth, I don't do the speaking. The Holy Spirit does it. And He ain't going to walk around you. And I'm not going to ask Him to. In fact, I just tell Him, you come on. You make this service and you reach out and you give each one of them exactly what they are in need of. If you're sitting in my congregation and you're a woman, you're going to hear me tell you. You're going to hear the Spirit tell you through me. Woman, you ain't no pastor. She can't be. Now, as of God, she's not to be a pastor of the church. Oh, now, you know, Jesus said that your sons and your daughters would prophesy. I didn't say she couldn't prophesy. I said she wasn't to be a pastor. Prophesy just means you're sharing the word with others. Or God will give you something to share with others of the church. But it don't mean you're a pastor. Because He tells you better than that in
First Timothy chapter 2
and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He tells her that it's a shame for her to even speak in the church. But look how many's walking around that today and taking almost every denominational church we've got or accepting women back. And yet the word said no. Oh, now, well, I'm going to straighten this out with you and show you, actually, in the Word of God, because I made the statement. I'm going to show you in the Word of God, and then we're going to close out. First Timothy chapter 2. And let's start here with verse 9. Well, let's start with verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer, that word suffer means allow or permit. So if you read that word, it says, but I allow not or I permit not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. He goes on to say why. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived. Now, when you come back into Corinthians chapter 14, he gets even stronger yet than that. In chapter 14, and we'll come down here to verse, well, let's start with verse 29. I want to keep everything in the context in which it's written. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that setteth by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Now, as in all churches of the saints, that means every church that really is a church that is teaching God's word, is what they're supposed to be. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. What, came the word of God out of you, or come it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or a spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you or the commandments of the Lord. God's word. He tells them. He didn't call them. Yet, just about all of the churches today, or except even the Catholic Church, is something I thought I would never see happen. They have now got a woman priest. Not as big as the church would ever go that way. But they have. They have got, now, I know of one woman priest that the Catholic Church has now. But about all of your denominational churches, your Pentecostal, your Church of God, and all are using women pastors now, women preachers in their churches. And that's not godly. as I just read to you. You see, that's something else they took out of the Bible and preached contrary to. And I hear churches will stand today and the pastors will be praying.
And they'll say, let's all stand and pray. They get everybody up on their feet. Now let's pray in that heavenly language. They want them all. Is they're calling them to pray in tongues. They're told not to do it. They're told no. They're told that if they're going to have tongues in the church, let it be by two or three at the most, and let one interpret to say what they are saying. And if there be no interpreter, then they're not to do it at all. They're to keep quiet. It's also there in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You can read that when you get home on your own. And they're going against it. There's so much of this New Testament that man today is taking out and going against. And now they're coming out with a new Bible now where they have took the word Israel out of the Bible. And yet we are told a nation that is not for Israel, God will not be for that nation. What do you think he's going to do to those that he wants the word Israel out of the Bible? If it wasn't for Israel and the Jewish men, we wouldn't have the word of God today. They were all Jewish men. Peter, James, John, all of them. Jewish men. They were God's people. Jesus came actually to his people. He was born. His mother was a Jew. His stepdad, his earthly stepdad, was a Jew. His dad was God, the Father, because the Holy Spirit put him in Mary's womb. But the one that was put in charge over his raising was a Jew. And yet his own rejected him, wouldn't accept him, turned their back on him, and had him crucified. You know, people say, oh, well, you know, no, the Jews didn't have it. The Jews didn't crucify him. The Romans did. The Romans did because his own people wouldn't quit crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate even washed his hands and told him, I'm not guilty of this man's blood. He wanted to give Jesus back to him. No, they would not take it. Crucify him, crucify him. They was causing such a stir, he finally agreed to do it. But it was his own. And look at this nation here. We were the number one nation in the world in Christianity. Our government was founded on the Word of God and on Jesus. It was written into our Constitution and First Amendment. Even our government could do nothing against the church. Couldn't tell the church how to conduct business. All written in our Constitution and the First Amendment. And they're going against it today, and most all of these weak preachers are sitting back and saying nothing about it, letting them get away with it and doing whatever they tell them to do. And they have no right to close that church door. They have no right to tell me that I can't let you sing in this church. They have no right to tell me I cannot have communion. In fact, I'm planning on having communion next Sunday morning. They don't tell me what to do. A
because I stand just like Paul, just like Peter and James and John, and I am willing to give my life if that's what it calls for. Because one day I'm going to step out of this life and I'm going on to be with Him. I ain't afraid of it. They ain't got me shook up at all as far as fear goes. I don't like the way they're doing, no, because they're tearing my country down. A country that was number one in the world in Christianity, and now we have fallen below number eight. Even communist countries now are ahead of us in Christianity. China, one of the worst countries in the world, is ahead of us in Christianity. Then when we look around and see what's going on around us, don't wonder why it's happening. We were told that it was coming. We were told how it was coming. We were told why it was coming. And we are in days and times right now that we need to be holding revivals and getting everyone that we can into the family of God, because it's not going to be long until the Lord's coming for His church. Because it's not going to be long for a man to stand and preach a sermon just like I preached. He's going to wind up in jail, and they're going to take his life just like they done with the apostles. And we're told it's going to happen. It's all in the book. It won't come as a surprise to me. I didn't figure I'd live long enough to see it. But I might, because I don't figure it's too long down the road. I figure that God is working with us right now and trying to put a great revival together. He said there'd be a good one, a great revival. And I think He's trying to get it put together now. But that don't have to last too awful long, because we don't know how many will come out of that. Only He knows. He knows. He knows when the last one will be saved that will be saved, and He knows who it is. We don't, but He does. And when that happens, we'll see Him coming on a cloud, and He'll be hollering, "Come up here. You've changed the twinkle of an eye. You've come out of this old fleshly body and get in that celestial body and go right on to be with Him." And you'll draw back with Him until the end of tribulation. At the end of tribulation, when He comes back to this earth to set up His kingdom, He'll be bringing us back with Him. We'll be living back on this earth again 1,000 years. Think about that. Then at the end of that 1,000, there'll be that great white throne judgment I'll tell you about. And when that's over, this heaven and this earth, like it is now, will pass away. It will exist no more. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, praise God. Praise God. And boy, that holy city, streets of gold, gates of pearl, onyx, diamond. Oh. No more tears. No more sadness. No more sorrow. Joy. And working and serving the Lord our God. What a day that will be. Let us pray. Nothing like Kenny done. He preached at 20 minutes after 12 today. Here I preached at 20 minutes after 7. He helped them 20 minutes over, and I've done the same thing. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close Your word, Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for times that we can come together in a place that we have got, Father, to where we can be together in praising God, lifting up your word, Father, sharing it with others. And Father, we thank you for a way that we can reach around the world now with your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Father, the saints, wherever they are in this world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them because that's what you tell us to do, Father. And we do love them. We know they are your people. We know that they have done like we have here, Father. We know they turned their back. But, Father, we are praying for them to be safe. But even more than that, Father, we pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, so Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this nation of ours, Father, help us for whatever time we have left to get rid of those out of office, Father, that's against the church, that is against your word, that's against the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to put those in that will stand with your church, with Jesus, and help us to put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for our prayer list tonight, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit work with them to bring about the infilling of whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's friend Sue and Sue's family in Texas, Tom, Amy's husband, and Tom's friend Dennis and Dennis's family in Oklahoma, Brady and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. This young man will, Father, been ordained into the ministry. I pray that the Holy Spirit's been his teacher and that he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, Father, we lift them up, put them in your hands. You know what is needed there. And Father, that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light. And Father, we pray that you put one there that will keep the Holy Spirit in that church. Make it, Father, a place of refuge and a lighthouse to the community where it stands. For my young pastor friend in Pakistan, Haroon Islam, Father, keep him safe, keep him in health, and see to his needs. Father, for the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, for my family, and for each family that is listening to this message tonight, Father, may the Holy Spirit work within the families to turn those that are walking, Father, in darkness, turn them from darkness, Father, to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all will find heaven as their home. For Jimmy Emery, baby Jalee, Sharon Montville, and Sharon's mother, for Sue, for Palance, Father, for Jim, Brother Jim Taylor, and his family, Father. For Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife. For Henry Craycroft, Father, all of these. They all stand in need of that healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, touch them in a mighty and great way so that they'll know that it was your touch of healing and not man. Now, Father, be with us as we prepare to separate and go our own ways, Father, until we come back together again. Keep us all, Father, in thy care. Hold us in thy loving arms, Father. Bring us back together Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So until then, Father, we want to praise the Lord Jesus Christ in all of our ways and in all of our lives. Let our lives be his and not ours. And it's in that sweet, precious name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. And God bless. Good night, all.